I'm going to fix him so he won't have no more rocks to throw. I'm going to call the cops. That little criminal belongs in jail, and that's where he's going to land.
This is The Biggest Heart, a program for and about you, the people. A program to bring you the little-known stories of those who devote their lives to doing for others. Presented each week at this time by Fred Ward, Hudson dealer and distributor, and your neighborhood Hudson dealer. Now here is Pete Smythe to tell you about tonight's person of the big heart.
Thank you, Bill. Hello, everyone. You know, to be correct dramatically, we should have an actor with an English accent to portray the subject of tonight's story. He was born in Cornwall, England, manned the machine gun for the English Army during World War I, and didn't migrate to the U.S. until 1920. He was fired with ambition for this new country and promptly set himself a goal. Not the usual Horatio Alger goal of riches, power, and glory, but an even higher one. He decided that he would try to help people, especially young people. Some of us call it social work nowadays, I think. And so it was that he traveled a roundabout road from the automobile assembly lines of Detroit to George Williams College to the University of Chicago, and then to the slums of Chicago and worked with the underprivileged and worked with the so-called minority groups, and finally to Denver, the YMCA. And that's where I met him, and that's where we sat and drank coffee and talked about people. What he said made sense. I wish all of you could have met Bill Mitchell, too, and listened to him, and he said,
"You speak of the underprivileged. We are all underprivileged in some way. Not only with money and things, but with some it might be with friends. With others, it might be an unsatisfactory job. Others may be rich money-wise, but have trouble getting along with their family. Some of the lower income groups have a fine family life."
"Then you don't think that money is the answer to happiness?"
"Financial security is important. Mighty important. But emotional security is as much so. And the earlier you start working on both, the better. Let me tell you a little story to illustrate what I mean. The story of Howard Grosset, who was supposed to have been a bad boy. As we say today, a juvenile delinquent.
Nobody.
Well, I heard somebody knock.
So did I, but there wasn't nobody there when I opened the door.
Maybe somebody playing tricks.
There they are again at the front door this time. You get it.
Well, I got my shoes off.
Sure, and I got my hands in the dishwater. You get set down and you just can't seem to get up.
Okay, I'll get it. Just wish a man could have a bit of peace around here. Hello. Who's there? Hello. Nobody there.
See, what'd I tell you?
Yeah, somebody playing tricks, all right.
Well, what are you going to do about it? Just stand there in your bare feet?
I'll fix them. You go right on with your dishes. They'll probably try the back door again. I'll hide right behind the kitchen door. Go on now. Keep on washing your dishes.
All right.
So when they look in, they'll see you busy.
Probably that gossip kid next door. Sure is ornery. Tried to turn the hose on me the other day. Said it was just an accident. I know the little devil did it on purpose.
Keep quiet, will you? So I can hear him coming. All right, I got you.
Grab him. There he goes. Get him.
You
catch him, Lamb. Make him holler. Serves him right. Make him holler, Lamb.
Hey, you holler. That's me hollering. Come out and help me. I think I cut my big toe off.
Don't take it easy.
Oh,
as bad as you're letting on. Now, maybe you'll know better than to go running around with your shoes off.
There was that Grosset kid, all right, little devil.
Get a good look at him?
I almost got hold of him, and then I stepped on that can or whatever it was. I'd have wrung his neck if I'd caught him.
I got a notion to call the police and report that kid. He ought to be taught a lesson.
Yeah. Have you had any more trouble with his old lady lately?
I just don't have no truck at all with her. No good foreigners. And she stays away from me, thank goodness.
She better do something with that kid, or I will.
Well, the if he calls your bluff. Threw a rock right through the front room window. Now what are you going to do?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fix him so he won't have no rocks to throw. I'm going to call the cops. That little criminal belongs in jail, and that's where he's going to land.
Where young Howard Gossett almost landed. Police picked him up and he was taken to juvenile hall. Juvenile court, he answered the charges of being a general nuisance, of creating a disturbance, destroying property, etc. I was there to hear his case and Judge Gilliam when he said,
Howard, we've heard your case. I know that you must realize that you're in a pretty serious predicament. Is that right?
Yes.
But since this is your first appearance in juvenile court, we're going to give you another chance. I recommend that you be placed on probation. You understand what probation means?
No.
Well, Howard, probation means that we will assign you to someone who will work with you to help you help yourself. Now, you'll report to Mr. Mitchell at the YMCA once every week. He'll help you. And perhaps he can find the reason you feel as you do.
Reason? There's always a reason back at the action. Boys are not just born bad. Well, I must admit that Howard was rather an antisocial lad. He wouldn't like anyone. But the first time he reported to me, I began to understand why. Howard, it's good to see you. How do you like the YMCA?
Okay.
How's everything at home? Your mother and dad?
Okay, I guess. But
But what, Howard? You can feel free to talk to me.
I was just wondering, why are you sticking your nose into my business?
Oh, so that's what's bothering you, eh? Well, Howard, I'm going to tell you why. When I heard your case in juvenile court, I said to myself, there's a boy who's really okay. And I looked at you, and I just couldn't see one mean streak in you. And I said to myself, here's a boy who could be a good friend. If he had a good friend.
I haven't got any friends. Everybody hates
me. No. You've got friends, Howard. And I'm one of them. Will you remember that?
Yeah, I'll remember.
Now, can you think of any special reason why you feel toward people the way you do? For instance, your neighbors, the ones who reported you.
Oh, them. You'd feel the same way, too, if you were me. They're always making fun of my folks just because they don't have much and talk funny. They made my mom cry lots of times, and my dad felt real bad. I'd fight for my mom and dad, against anybody.
Oh, and that's why you pestered them and finally threw the rock through their window?
Yes, that's why. And I'd do it again.
Well, Howard, I can understand how you feel. You're right. I'd probably feel the same way. There's no question about it. You had good reasons for your acts, but you didn't act right.
I don't care. I'd do it again.
Oh, suppose you try another way the next time those neighbors bother your parents. Don't blow your top. Pay no attention to them. And then have your mother or dad report their trouble to the police. That's what they're for, to settle these little difficulties. Will you try it?
Yes, I'll try.
That's good. Because, you see, little difficulties sometimes have a way of growing into big ones. And
like what a little rock can do to a big window?
That's exactly right, my boy. You know, I believe you and I are beginning to understand one another. The change in that lad was immediate. As soon as he learned that the world wasn't against him and his family, and he had someone who would stand up for him, he blossomed like a spring flower garden. We became great friends. And there was never another speck of trouble, except the neighbors were visited by the police a couple of times, and that took care of that. I always remember the day Howard Grosset was released from probation. He came to me and said,
I want to thank you for everything, Mr. Mitchell.
Well, you deserve all the credit in this case. You got yourself straightened up. I just stood by and watched.
Do you mind if I still come around and see you once in a while?
I want you to. You know, I've been thinking, if you hadn't gotten into trouble, I wouldn't have known you. And just between you and me, I'm sort of glad you did.
J.
just between you and me. I'm glad I did, too.
Bill Mitchell has some wonderful theories. Maybe you've heard them before, but they'll bear repeating. I think most of us know the value of emotional security, especially in our children. If they have that, then they can take care of the financial part a little easier. Perhaps that's why Bill Mitchell takes such an interest in Judge Gilliam's juvenile court. In fact, you'll find him there at court every Friday morning without fail. I'll let him tell you about it.
It makes no difference what the boy's brought into court for. They always take the attitude that here's a boy who needs a friend. There's always a lack of something, and he must be made to feel that he is a part of the scheme of things. He needs a pat on the back, a word of encouragement. And, well, now we know for sure that what happens to a boy depends on his home life. Let me tell you about Ralph Oliver, who was brought into court for petty theft. First, let's go back to the reason again.
How do you want your egg, Frank?
Like I usually have it. How do you suppose?
Well, I'm not a mind reader.
You read everything else I have.
Well, Bill, look who's here, the king himself. Surely you're not going to get up now. It's only 8:30.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom, I didn't hear you call.
Well, it's no wonder, coming home when you did last night. You needn't think you fooled me. I heard you. Frank, do you know what time your son came home last night? Or rather, this morning? Sit down, Ralph. Frank, did you hear me?
Yeah, what was it?
If you'd keep your nose out of that newspaper for a minute, I tell you. I wish there weren't any newspapers. I said, do you know what time Ralph came in last night?
Oh, midnight?
Midnight? It seems to be me that does all the lying awake and worrying around here. You'd sleep through an atom bomb. Midnight! It was 2:00.
Well, what do you want me to do about it? I've talked to him and he doesn't pay any attention.
Mom, could I have an egg, please?
If you pay more attention to him, maybe I could do something with him. You never correct him. You just leave everything up to me. You're too busy.
Sure I'm busy. What do you expect? Money grows out of the lawn these days. I gotta make a living, and I gotta pay the bills, and I gotta keep up with the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses? They're way out ahead of you.
Mom, I'll be late for school. Could I have an egg,
well,
please?
If you don't like it, you know what you can do. I'm not asking you to stick around.
And I'm not sticking around because I like it here. It's just because of you and Ralph. You wouldn't know what to do without me.
Wanna make a bet?
Mom, would you mind if I cook myself an egg?
How can you sit there and be smart at a time like this? If you were a man,
you'd do something. I'm gonna put up with this, you're crazy. All I hear is what you're gonna do about this and what you're gonna do about that. After all, Ralph is gonna...
That was the type of conversation Ralph had with his breakfast each morning. And at dinner, it was more of the same. Not a very helpful menu.
You don't seem to be very hungry tonight, Ralph. I suppose you've been hanging around the drugstore again, drinking malted milk?
Oh, no, I didn't have a malt. I played football over in the park.
Then you should be hungry. What's the matter? Are you sick or something?
No, I feel all right.
Well, it's mighty funny. Every time I cook up a good dinner, neither you or your father will touch it.
Now, keep me out of this. Would you call 2 helpings just touching your meal? That's what I've had.
Well, you don't act as though you like it. You're the most particular man about food I've ever seen. Do you have any homework tonight, Ralph?
Why, you're crazy. I'd eat most anything. I'm easy to feed.
You don't like vegetables, green vegetables, and you know it.
I have an English assignment.
Name one vegetable I don't like.
I could name a lot of them. All you seem to want is potatoes. Fried potatoes.
Fried potatoes. Look, you've got mashed potatoes tonight, and I'm eating them. Now, what more proof do you want?
Oh, I'm going to get
Well, you're just lucky to get anything. I know women whose husbands take them out for dinner at least twice every week.
Now, what's that got to do with potatoes?
Plenty. If you only had sense enough to realize...
I still don't get it. What's that got to do with potatoes? And with Ralph not eating his? Oh, where is he? Where'd Ralph go? Is he in the living room?
Gone again, without saying a word to us.
What do you suppose is wrong with him?
I don't know. But it's time you did something about it.
Time I did something about it. Now wait, don't forget. You're in this as much as I am. That's just the trouble. Whenever anything goes wrong, you always blame me. Whenever anything good happens,
it's
your fault.
I am to discipline a boy, and that's your job.
I'm the one that's got
Lord knows I have plenty of work. I'm not doing your time for you.
Well, young Ralph did something about the situation. Only, as so often happens, he did it the hard way. He, too, ended up in Judge Gilliam's juvenile court.
Ralph, as you know, petty theft is more serious than it sounds. Stealing little things can eventually lead to automobiles and to stick-ups with a gun. Now, we want to help you get to thinking straight about your problem, which apparently you do have. So, I'm going to place you on probation with Mr. Mitchell. He has heard your case, and I'm sure he understands. Good luck to you, Roth.
There we had the reason and the action. Now all we needed was a cure. This was a tough one.
You can't blame me for not wanting to go home at night, Mr. Mitchell. I get so tired of listening to them argue and nag at each other. So I just wait until I'm sure they're asleep, and then I try to sneak in.
Well, I don't know just how we're going to lick this one. We can't take sides with your mother or your dad, can we? No one parent is 100% right or wrong.
Well, neither one of them will ever give in to the other. What can I do, sir?
I think it's going to be up to you to make the adjustment. You've got to get your rest. You can't be staying out all hours of the night. Do you have your own room?
Yes.
And radio and books?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, then let's try this. Whenever they get into an argument, you just go to your own room and close the door.
Yeah, but I'll be there most of the time.
That's right, especially at night. And then turn the radio up so you won't be able to hear them, huh?
Oh, it'll have to be awful loud.
Well, let's try it. Perhaps if you are home at night, your parents will change.
Mr. Mitchell.
Yes, Ralph?
You're an optimist, aren't you?
Well, yes, I suppose I am. I try to look at the good side.
Well, I know I'm wishing for too much, but I wish there was some way for us to turn my parents into optimists, or maybe just one of them.
I wish I could give the story a happy ending, but I can't entirely. Ralph had the stuff for a good citizen, and he tried hard. But he couldn't change his parents. But at least we helped to get Ralph to thinking straight. I got a letter from him the other day.
I guess you know I'm in the Coast Guard now. I like it very much. They work as hard, but maybe that's why we're so happy. I remember you always told me that if you're busy, you'll be happy. My folks finally got a divorce. I wonder who they argue with now. I want to thank you, though, for all you did for me. You were a friend when I really needed one. Your friend, Ralph.
You were a friend when I really needed one. That sort of sums up the story of Bill Mitchell pretty simply and pretty effectively. He has several hundred such stories about other boys like Ralph Oliver and Howard Crossett, boys from all up and down the scale, from the lowest income to the highest. But they all boil down to this, and I quote Bill Mitchell again, "The orneriest kids will respond to kindness." It's as simple as that, and it works. It works wonders with the young guys who are going to inherit our mistakes and our debts. They've got a tough row ahead of them, and I'm glad that we have some folks around like Bill Mitchell to help them stand up and look the future in the eye. In just a moment, we're going to meet Bill Mitchell in person. But first, here is Bill Jones with an invitation for all of you.
Thanks, Pete. Fred Ward has asked me to extend a special invitation to you listeners to take the Once Around the Block test in a new 1951 Hudson. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't go further if you wish. Drive out in the country. Try the Hudson. on the highway, on the hills. Fred Ward and all the Hudson dealers want every motorist in this territory to know that thrill of driving this great new car. Naturally, they want to sell Hudsons. That's their job. But the point is, you owe it to yourself to drive a Hudson before you buy any car. And even if you're not in the market at present, they know that after driving a Hudson, you'll be telling your friends and neighbors about the unbelievable ease of handling, the smooth power, the luxurious comfort and style of the automobile buy of 1951, Hudson. So this is your invitation. Go in tomorrow. Call on Fred Ward at 1300 Lincoln or see your nearest Hudson dealer.
Now we're honored to have as our guest in the studio tonight a man who has known tonight's biggest heart for many years. Here is Judge Philip B. Gilliam of the Juvenile Court. Phil, it's nice of you to come down for your friend here. I know you've worked together a long time. Do you have anything to say about it?
Yes, Pete. I'm so very happy about this. I think it's wonderful that you're honoring Bill Mitchell tonight. I don't know of anyone in the city of Denver that has made a greater contribution to the unfortunate children of the city of Denver than Bill Mitchell. Working with Bill over the years has been such a pleasure. It's made my work so easy, so interesting, and so delightful. He has worked with hundreds of boys from my court, not just simple kids that break windows and push ducks into the water, but tough, mean kids, and his amazing success has been an inspiration to everyone who works in this particular field. Yes, he's been an inspiration not only to the youngsters that he deals with, but his generous spirit, his kindness, his deep religious convictions has meant so much to me personally. It's made me a better judge. Believe me, he gave me religion. Bill is an Englishman, you know, with a delightful accent. I remember one time, Pete, one time there was a particularly tough kid that came up before my court, and after he heard Bill talk with that interesting accent, he looked at me and he said, "Judge, I don't want to work with no sissies." But, you know, we went out to lunch with him, and during the conversation, I said, "Bill, tell me about your experiences as a machine gunner in the British Army." And Bill sat there, and he told about his experiences. You know, after that lunch, that kid looked at me, and he says, "He's not bad, is he?" But he has a delightful way of working with youngsters. And believe me, it's been such a pleasure, Bill, working with you over these years. There's only one thing, Pete, I can't forgive. You know, his stories are a little bit corny. He comes from Cornwall, England, and I think most of the corn comes from Cornwall. But, Bill, tonight, it's a pleasure to have you on this program. And I want to thank you, Pete, for asking me to come down here to present this certificate to my good friend, Bill Mitchell. The certificate, Bill, reads this way. The biggest heart, Bill Mitchell, presented January 19th, 1951, on the Biggest Heart program, radio station KLZ. Great people carry big hearts. Signed, Fred Ward.
Thank you, Phil. I'd like to hear from this man here you've been talking about and you think so much of. Bill, how about that English accent we've been kidding you about? Tell us where you lost it, will you?
Well, I thought I lost it in Chicago.
How'd you lose it there?
Well, the kids were making fun of me, and I said, "Well, I don't want to be too different from these kids. I want to be a part of them." So I did everything that I possibly could to get rid of that English accent.
When we were talking about that the other day, you used that as a lever several times. You call yourself a foreigner, don't you?
That's right.
And a lot of them, I know how they feel about that, and so you can bounce right back at them, can't you?
That's right. Gave us something to work with and understanding.
Well, Bill, it's been wonderful knowing you and working with you, and we want to turn the tables on you a little bit tonight. You brought your nice wife down here. I think she's probably a big help to you, isn't she?
Oh, she certainly is. She helped me to get next to those youngsters back there in Chicago, it's that no one could ever handle.
And this fine boy here.
Oh, Dick, sure. He's a fine help, too.
Oh, we have something for your wife here. Alpha Flora wants her to have an orchid and some beautiful red roses. I think she'll like them. They're over there in the
pen. Oh, sure she would.
Will someone take them over and present them to Mrs. Mitchell, please? Alpha Flora at 420 16th Street. And Grano and Blake, they want to send their congratulations. And this letter, if you'll take it down to Walt Blake of Grano and Blake and present it to him, he has a nice gift for you down there. As you know, they're manufacturing jewelers, and they have many beautiful things to choose from. They're at 1653 Welton, Bill. And photographs, Clyde Jackson here is going to take your picture here so you can have it for your scrapbook. Do you have a scrapbook, Ms. Mitchell? She says, yes, they do have. And Clyde Jackson is, I think, the man who takes more commercial photography and more weddings and more dogs and more children than anybody else in town. And Clyde's going to make up some fine pictures for you. When you go out to Sunday dinner, be sure and go to the Golden Lantern. They want you to come there as their guests for Sunday dinner or any time you can make it. And as you know, dining at the Golden Lantern is fun for the whole family. They're at Broadway near 13th. I think you know where they are, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Zoll Jewelry. Sam's here tonight. You heard his boy on the show. Sam and Bill, they're at 619 16th Street. And Elgin American and the Zoll brothers want you to come down and pick out a nice gift down there tomorrow.
That's very lovely.
Down there on 16th. And also, you can take the boy down, or your wife, or all three of you, to United Photo at 1521 Curtis. And Dick Montague wants to take a nice portrait of you and your family. Goodhart Laundry. Here's a letter from Harry Goodhart, Jr., which entitles you to $15 worth of cleaning and laundry from the Laundry of the Heart Goodharts. Do you like that, Ms. Mitchell?
Very well.
She says that'll be all right, too. And finally, we ask, Hack over at the Y, called your wife and asked what you'd like to have. And she said that you had a little trouble getting up in the morning. So Fred Ward sent me down to Frumus and had me buy a GE radio with one of those clock gadgets that turns it on for you in the morning.
Isn't that great?
So be sure to turn on KLZ when you do.
I sure will.
Thank you very much for coming, Bill. I want to add my personal congratulations. You're doing a great job. May there be more like you.
Thank you, Pete. If you would like to suggest some big-hearted person for this show, The Biggest Heart, just write a letter to Fred Ward, KLZ, Denver. Letters will be judged on what the person with the big heart has done, so be as complete as possible. On behalf of Fred Ward, I want to thank the following: Alpha Floral, Grano and Blake, Jackson Photo Service, Golden Lantern Restaurant, Zoll Jewelry, Elgin American, United Photo Studios, Goodhart Laundry, and Frumus Jewelry. Our cast tonight included Johnny Zoll, Betty Trunk, Shirley Squires, Jim Herrick, Dick Wolhoff, and Clayton Brace. In the dramatized portion of the show, Judge Gilliam was impersonated by an actor. Music by Art Gow, direction by Elliot Wager, and script by Pete Smythe. This is Bill Jones inviting you to listen next Friday night at 7:30 when Fed Ward Incorporated, your Hudson dealer and distributor, will present another in this series of programs saluting The Biggest Heart.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.
For tops and better used cars, it's Fred Ward's Used Car Department at 915 Broadway in Denver. At Fred Ward's, the bargain spot of Denver, you will find a large selection of better used cars, all in top condition, all winterized, ready to go. Visit Fred Ward's at 915 Broadway and select your better used car. Fred Ward's Used Car Department is open evenings until 9 p.m.